Hello, everyone. Welcome to the NovaCare Complex, our Xfinity studio. Dave Spadaro with you on this Monday. A happy Monday indeed. The Eagles sitting atop the NFC East with a 2-3 record after Sunday's win against the New York Giants. Lots to talk about, lots to get to leading into Chip Kelly's day after press conference. And he will be besieged with questions about the quarterback situation and the health of one Michael Vick, who exited Sunday's game in the second quarter with a hamstring injury, his left hamstring. And then Nick Foles came into the game. We take a look at Michael Vick early on and running to the sideline untouched and up pulls that hamstring, grabs for it, came back and played a little bit before the Eagles just said, nope, time to exit number 7 and enter number 9. Foles proceeded to lead the Eagles down the field, a field goal drive. Outstanding performance from him, a career high in terms of his passer rating. And now the conversation begins about the quarterback situation. Now, after yesterday's game, Kelly said that, yeah, Michael Vick, when healthy, is the quarterback. But we'll let him talk today and find out what the injury situation might be. Vick taking some treatment today. We'll get the update at 1 o'clock. In the meantime, we take some phone calls. We talk about the game and the state of your Philadelphia Eagles. Let's get you caught up with the headlines. Chris McPherson doing the honors.
Thanks, Dave. And we'll get the week started off in a great way. The Eagles win, coupled with the Dallas Cowboys' loss to the Denver Broncos, puts them in a tie for first place in the NFC East. But by virtue of their 2-0 record in the division, the Eagles, through 5 games, are in first place. Chip Kelly will have his press conference, his day after session, at 1 p.m., and that is when he'll update the status of quarterback Michael Vick. But no matter what, Michael Vick will be the starting quarterback moving forward, despite Nick Foles and his tremendous performance throwing 2 touchdown passes in the 36-21 win over the New York Giants, keeping them winless on the 2013 season. Now, this offense is on a historic pace. The NFL PR staff released this stat that the Eagles are the first team in NFL history through 5 games to have over 1,300 passing yards and 900 rushing yards at this point in the season. LeSean McCoy is the league's leading rusher, and DeSean Jackson is 3rd in receiving yards. The Chip Kelly effect on this offense can also be found in the point totals. The Eagles have scored 30 or more points 3 times already this season. They did that only once in all of 2012. And the defense stepping up big yesterday, forcing 4 turnovers in all, including 3 interceptions in the fourth quarter alone on 3 consecutive drives. Kerry Williams, Michael Kendricks, and the amazing one-handed interception by Brandon Boykin, helping propel the Eagles to the win. Kendricks also recovered a fumble earlier in the game for his league-leading 3rd fumble recovery of the season. That'll do it for your Monday headlines. Let's send it back for more with Dave Spadaro.
All righty. Thanks very much, Chris. And we've got a lot to get to on the show. We want your phone calls, 215-339-6709. It's time to react the day after the Eagles beat the New York Giants, get to 2-0 in the NFC East, 2-3 in the season. And looky here, the Eagles in first place in the NFC East. And I know there's a long way to go before this thing gets settled, but why not enjoy it while we can? Take a look at the standings here. Philadelphia actually ahead of Dallas in the standings by virtue of that 2-0 record in the division. You take a look at the rest of the NFC. The New Orleans Saints, Seattle, San Francisco, the cream of the crop in the conference. But again, lots of football to get to in 2013. And a lot to get to here today. We'll go back and revisit the win at MetLife Stadium. Some things to talk about. The defense taking the football away 4 times. The quarterback situation. Alex Henry bouncing back with 5, count them, 5 field goals. And a whole lot more. The Eagles went into the Meadowlands needing a win. They came away with one. So what does it mean in the big picture? We talk about it on the other side here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. It's Eagles Live. We'll be back in just a moment.
Back in the day, I busted up some plays. But you'll never find me in busted coverage because I have auto insurance from AAA. AAA gives this safety blanket coverage and saves me my favorite color, green. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
SEPTA is the way to get to games.
I love taking the subway down there because I feel like I'm, you know, with all fans. Everybody's got their gear on.
People are chanting and cheering on the train before you even get to the station.
There's a sense of camaraderie because Philly loves their sports teams.
It's really fun. It's Philadelphia.
It's the end of an era.
All the parties. The stories.
I'm going to miss your smell.
You were my first.
What?
I knew it. I knew
it's
it.
It's true.
Oh, man, I'm sorry I broke your leg.
I wrote a song. Sorry. Here we go.
Keep the good times going with the crisp, refreshing taste of Bud Light. Here we go.
Whoa. Check out this new couch.
Together, we make the NFL Ticket Exchange the only place to buy and sell verified, authentic NFL tickets, which means we make sure your name is on your ticket.
Enjoy the game, Gary.
Guaranteeing the day belongs to you. We make memories guaranteed with your name written all over them. NFL Ticket Exchange. Together, we make football.
That's you, Jones.
That's me.
You're home for the most live sports. Xfinity.
These days, you can find me on the road, at the movies, shopping, or traveling. And I do it all with AAA. For roadside assistance, discounts, and travel planning, AAA has you covered. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
When I was a little kid, I thought riding SEPTA was just the coolest thing. I thought, I'm on this big piece of metal blazing down these tracks. There's people ringing bells above me. There's honking going on. There's trees flying by. It's fantastic.
All right, we got specials today. When the Eagles win, you win. Eagles offering free ground shipping with your purchase today on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Today only, enter the code NFCEASTWIN at checkout and get free ground shipping today. And also, for those of you out there who have or will have the Dunkin' mobile app, well, today is your lucky day. Receive a free medium hot or 24-ounce iced coffee the day after the Eagles win. So the Eagles won yesterday, and today, you get to win with Dunkin' Donuts, great partners of the Philadelphia Eagles. And if you don't have that Dunkin' Donuts app, what are you waiting for? There's going to be more wins ahead here, people. Get a free hot coffee, a free iced coffee. Got to do it. All right, big win for the Eagles on Sunday. Giants beat up. We know that. Eagles losing Michael Vick in the second quarter. Nick Foles stepping in. And look at that quarterback rating of 114.9. That is a career best for Foles. He came right in off the sideline and led a drive down the field and was just impressive the whole way down. Just one incomplete pass. Moved the offense. He got the Eagles into Alex Henry field goal position, and Henry delivering with a field goal that gave the Eagles a 19-6 lead at halftime. So really impressive job by Foles, who doesn't get a lot of reps during the week but looked good on Sunday and could be lining up for his first start of the season in Tampa. Nick Foles, an impressive performer for Philadelphia. The Eagles' offense in general, some ups, some downs. Too many failures in Giants territory in and around the red zone, but still coming back strong in the fourth quarter. And DeSean Jackson leading the offensive charge for the Eagles. 7 catches, 132, and the big touchdown. That beautiful little stop and go, little double move. Fade route, 5-yard fade route that he caught the pass from Nick Foles. So Chip Kelly talking last night after the game, pleased with his second win as the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles.
I thought Nick did a nice job. You know, he come in, especially I thought that drive right at the end of the first half where we had an opportunity to go down and get a field goal, you know, being in a 2-minute situation, really managed the game real well, and I was really happy with Nick. He's a student of the game. He prepares himself like he is a starter because he's literally a chin strap away from being a starter. And I think that's a credit to him. You know, some guys can get discouraged, but he wasn't like that when, you know, when I sat down with him and Mike and we told him, you know, what was going on in camp. You know, he just said, hey, coach, you can always count on me. I'm going to be there. And that's what he's done. He's been there every day in practice. I think Billy Lazor does a really good job with those guys, you know, and making sure that they're sharp and getting them enough reps. And in this league, I think you need two quarterbacks, and we were fortunate that we had Nick today. I got a lot of confidence in Alex. I think he was it 5 for 5? Is that if I did my math right? So, you know, he's been really, really consistent. You know, I think myself and him were probably the most surprised with, you know, with those three misses that we had this year. But really confident, you know, obviously I don't want to get threes, but we don't want to get threes. We'd rather get sevens. But if you got a guy who's consistent like that and can go 5 for 5 and put those points on the board, it's really a difference in the ball game. I thought they did a great job of getting the ball back for us. You know, we had those three big turnovers, you know, and I think when you play against those two receivers and obviously Eli, you know, Super Bowl winning quarterback, you know, that's the strength of their team right now. They're banged up a little bit up front, and you know, David Wilson wasn't in there, so you know, we kind of knew they were going to throw, and that was you know, a matchup that we really had to make sure that we concentrated on. And I thought our guys, eventually we started to get to Eli a little bit, started to generate a pass rush, and those three turnovers were huge. And the difference in the ball game was the turnovers. You know, we didn't turn it over, and they did. They had a good week of preparation, and we need to have another one because we've got another game coming up. Every week is a season, you know, and that's what this deal's all about. You know, you're 5 games into a 16-game season, you know, understand that you just don't show up and win. When you have a good week of preparation, then that pays off for you. And I think we liked our week of preparation. So, you know, but we got to be able to replicate that because, you know, you get about 2 seconds to catch your breath in this league and go back and get ready to play again. So.
And that is Chip Kelly, by the way, the longest tenured coach in the city of Philadelphia right now, head coach of a major sport. Pretty amazing. We'll see how he reacts at his first press conference since that designation has become official. Top performers from last night offensively, from yesterday offensively, Nick Foles, of course. LeSean McCoy, 46 yards on the ground, 46 yards in the air, 1 touchdown, a little plunger. And then DeSean Jackson, good to see him back in the action, down the field, at 56-yard catch from Vic. Just a beautiful throw between two defenders. Outstanding job. Nick Foles, of course, stepping in and doing the job when Vic went out. I really was impressed with the way he threw the ball on the run. And look at this gorgeous rollout and throw and catch to Brent Celek. Foles had good timing, had that clock in his head working very well, was accurate with the football. And, you know, guy doesn't get a lot of reps during the practice week. So to do the job that he did, impressive. More good things to come from Nick Foles. We go back to last night, late afternoon, Nick Foles meeting the media in the interview room at MetLife Stadium. And as always, very calm, very low-key. Foles just doing his job.
I mean, I felt really comfortable throughout the whole game. There wasn't like a span where I was like, all right, I'm ready to go. I felt good when I went in, just, you know, we needed to get things going. The win was a team win. I thought everybody did a great job on defense, created a lot of turnovers. Thought O did a good job protecting the ball and getting the ball in the end zone after the turnovers. I naked out of there and trying to get the defense to flow one way and try to slip Brent underneath the other way. And they had a man right on him, but credit to Brent to go up and get that ball and be an athlete. And he's a great tight end. He did a great job. He made the play. And, you know, the guys up front, if y'all see on film, there's no one near me. It's that time. It really, you know, really helps a lot. Just impressed. You know, I might get a few, whatever it is. You know, if it's going with the team reps, or if it's doing scout, or if it's doing reps on the other field to get the throws. It's not a number. It's just you always try to get the mental reps when you're not in. I think that's the key is whenever Mike's in there, I'm right behind him. And I, you know, I'm looking to see what he's seeing. And then I try to train my mind. And then when I can, I get my extra throws to fill those throws. So I think just playing this game a long time, you're humbled when you play it, and we're fortunate to do what we do. So it's very humbling. You know, first thing I did was say a prayer and just say thank you, God, for letting me be out there, giving me the strength to go out there. So my faith has carried me through, and that's, you know, that's what's kept me strong. I think that if we're running the offense that we're used to running, it makes it a lot easier. It makes it easier on the guys that we don't have to switch anything, that we can run it. So. They felt comfortable, and I felt like the guys did a great job. Keep building on those one plays. You're going to bust one. You're going to get some momentum. The team's going to feed off it. We keep going. You know that one, you got to take the lead back, and you gotta keep, you know, going. It's as simple as that. First thing that happened when Mike got hurt is I prayed for him, you know, give him strength, God. And, you know, my job was to go in there, you know, Mike was hurt, and get a win. And I had a great team around me to really help me do that and just try to get better. You know, we get an opportunity to go back out there again, get in the weight room, you know, get the soreness out, because I actually got hit a little bit a few times, so I'll be probably a little sore. And, you know, we're going to enjoy it today, but move forward and just get better each and every day. And it calculates up.
All right, we'll find out from Chip Kelly here very shortly the quarterback situation, the health of Michael Vick, how he feels about the quarterback on this Monday, 6 days away from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now, running back LeSean McCoy held in check on the ground, 20 carries, 46 yards. The Giants doing a really good job at the line of scrimmage. They tackled McCoy well. Now, McCoy did have 46 yards receiving and now leads the NFL in total yards from scrimmage. He leads the NFL in rushing yards. He's second in the NFL in first downs. And we take a look at his day against the Giants. Hard-fought job and virtually nothing. In fact, less than nothing for McCoy on the ground in the second half. But that's not the big story. The big story is that the Eagles win. And after the game, McCoy pleased about that.
Thinking all of us battling together as a team. The defense playing well, special teams and offense. Answering when we needed to, so I think it definitely builds confidence, especially a division win. You know, it says a lot going through all the tough weeks we've been going through, and again, a win like this, so definitely builds confidence. As a defense, you would probably think, well, it's a difference from Michael Vick to Nick Foles as far as running. So yeah, I mean, they made some plays in the run game for sure, you know, but they get paid also. We got the win, so that's what matters. I think when a defense tries to stop this offense and they want to take me out or the run game out, I mean, that's fine. You leave one-on-ones for different matchups. And as you've seen today, it was obvious we beat them up downfield. So that's how it's going to work. As an offense, we look at Nick Foles and Michael Vick as two starters. I mean, they had a competition early in the year to be the starter. I felt like they both played very well, you know, so. We always think that they're both starters, and when Nick came in, we were still confident. I think when we get down there, we're moving the ball and we're getting three. We just gotta focus in better. Play today. I mean, I blew it myself. Turning inside instead of following the pass and going out. This is a matter of just focusing and completing the play, you know, and capitalizing. I think it's obvious a difference between Michael Vick and Nick Foles for sure. As far as his athletic standpoint. But Nick can run his offense also, you know. We're not asking Mike Vick to take 77 yarders to the house, you know, just enough to keep the defense ends honest. And same with Nick, I think he can do that. It doesn't really change, I don't think. Two starter quarterbacks on the same team, we're gonna focus and look to win this game. We're gonna run the same plays if Mike's in or if Nick's in, run the same plays. So it doesn't really make a difference.
36 points for the Eagles, more than 400 yards again. Yes, some challenges in and around the red zone, which have to be ironed out. But there were certainly some standout performers from the Eagles' offense against the Giants. We take a look at some of the numbers. 439 yards, 77 plays. It's routine stuff now for the Eagles, and it's going to get better. This is the thing that's really interesting. It's going to get better. The Eagles, once they really understand the scheme, they'll play faster football. They'll be in the right positions. You'll see fewer turnovers, fewer mistakes. Got to put the ball in the end zone, in the red zone. Zach Ertz getting involved a little bit. And Nick Foles just throwing from the pocket so very well. What will Chip Kelly decide to do? Well, we'll see about the health. That's going to be the big story with Michael Vick and the quarterback position. Top performers from Sunday on the offensive side of the ball. We'll talk about the defense later, but let's concentrate right now on the offense. And the offense leading the way, 439 yards. Nick Foles, outstanding performance from him. Outstanding performance from LeSean McCoy. And, of course, DeSean Jackson, a big part of things. Let's go into the locker room, starting with DeSean Jackson. Very happy with the team's performance against the NFC East rival.
Foles does a great job of always, you know, staying tuned and, you know, look at what looks we're getting. And, you know, once the time is right for him to get in, I think, you know, they give him both a great chance to, you know, during the week to get practice, to get reps, to be in tune to where we're running and things like that. So, you know, Foles just came in and did a good job. You know, last year he had some opportunities to come in and do the same thing when Vic went down. So, you know, he's been in this position before. He knows what to do. He knows what to expect. And, you know, at the same time, you know, I think, you know, he's able to go out there and just really make a decision and, you know, just get the ball out fast. So he did a great job of coming in and just giving us a chance to win it.
Well, I mean, sometimes when especially when the defender's back to you, you know, that's a great time for it. And like I said, Nick made a great throw. Where only I could catch it. What you need.
I mean, Nick, since he's been here, has one thing he does really well is he comes in with a very confident. He asserts himself in the huddle or when we are huddling. You know, he's just a guy that, like, you know, goes out there and, you know, you don't really miss too much from him when he gets in. So, you know, from that perspective, I think he always has done great when he's been thrust into that opportunity, I feel like.
He can play, and we know that he can play. And so we weren't surprised at all. And we were able to complete a couple more passes. And that was just good to see the Chip and offense coordinator put the ball in his hand.
What way Nick prepares, though, I guess truly a testament, you know, what kind of person he is. I mean, he's always being the leader. You know, if I have ups and, you know, up and down games, he's always there talking to me. And when his name was called, you know, he stepped in and did a good job.
I mean, to have three, you know, consecutive losses back-to-back, you know, this game was big for us. And not only that, it's a division rival. It's an NFC East game. So, you know, that's the biggest thing we can do is just set ourselves up to, you know, hopefully win this division. And next week we go to Tampa Bay. That'll be a big game for us as well. And then have Dallas Cowboys come to our house. So, as long as we can take advantage week by week and just go out there and do what we need to do to win games, I think that's all that matters.
Well, it's huge. I mean, this is a game we needed to win. Anytime you play the Giants, you know, they're a good team, and they're going to play us hard. So we knew we had to come in and win this one.
And that is your offense from Sunday. The defense, well, we've got a lot to talk about. The Eagles taking the football away four times, putting some pressure on Eli Manning, making some stops early in the game, encouraging performance from Bill Davis and his crew. We've got that to talk about coming up. We also want to take your phone calls. How do you feel about this Eagles team at 2-3? And then, of course, at 1 o'clock, Chip Kelly has his press conference. We cover it live right here. We're coming back. It's Eagles Live. I'm Dave Spadaro. We will be back live with more on the other side.
And action.
That's a wrap.
What are you doing?
What? These Dunkin' wraps are delicious.
Can I get a wrap too?
Try Dunkin's new Angus Steak and Cheese Wrap with barbecue sauce and cheddar cheese. Now that's a wrap. America runs on Dunkin'.
At Sports Authority, we have all the name brands you love, like Nike, Under Armour, Adidas, and The North Face. We carry fitness equipment, camping, bikes, baseball, and more. We offer a rewards program, The League, which earns you 5% back. And we'll match prices with our ad price match promise. So why do we do it? Because we love sports just as much as you do. All the best brands, all the best value. Sports Authority, all things sporting good.
Ready for a little fun? You could scratch your way to instant winning. Play the Pennsylvania Lottery's new instant game, Jack-O-Lantern Jackpot, with 10 top prizes of $50,000. It's kind of fun when it all comes together. Keep on scratching.
NovaCare Rehabilitation is the exclusive provider of physical therapy to the Philadelphia Eagles. With 90 locations in the Delaware Valley, NovaCare maximizes the physical well-being in patients of all ages and abilities. Our team of medical professionals puts you back in your game after surgery or injury. The Eagles choose NovaCare, so can you. Call 1-800-770-NOVA. NovaCare. Recovery starts here.
One of us is our own boss. And no matter where you are in life, ask your financial professional how Lincoln Financial can help you take charge of your future.
I got you white chocolate pumpkin.
Oh, please don't call me pumpkin.
No, it's white chocolate and pumpkin.
Oh.
Pumpkin.
Huh.
Aha!
Pumpkin is back at Dunkin' Donuts. Hurry in for delicious pumpkin coffees and lattes today. America runs on Dunkin'.
You know, 215-339-6709, the phone call, the phone number to call us. Hey, guys, let's support Eagles and the fight against breast cancer. You know it's October. It's Breast Cancer Awareness Month. The Eagles with these beautiful T-shirts in the pro shop at Lincoln Financial Field, also online here at PhiladelphiaEagles.com. And if you are in the world of Twitter, help us out with the hashtag EaglesTBC, Eagles Tackling Breast Cancer. Breast Cancer Awareness Month. It means a lot to us. It means a lot to the NFL, and it means a lot to you. So thank you in advance for your support, and thank you for your support in the past. The Eagles have been running this program for many years, and it's always gone so well with your support. So thanks for that. Let's get to the telephones. Chris in Virginia joining us on Eagles Live. Chris, good afternoon.
How you doing, Dave?
All righty. How are you, buddy?
Doing great, man. Doing great. Nothing like a win to lift the spirit.
Changes everything, doesn't it? And the listen, I mean, I'll be honest with you. The way the Cowboys lost with Tony Romo having the game of his life only to throw the dagger interception. How sweet it is. Let's be honest.
You know what's funny about that guy, Dave, is I called him. I was watching the game. I brought it.
Of course you did.
To show up, and, you know, and he, like I say, the game of his life, but then one little small play overshadows the whole game.
And I was watching last night, Chris, on the NBC broadcast at halftime. They were asking Rodney Harrison, the former safety of the New England Patriots, what was your scouting report on Romo and this, that, and the other. And when we always kind of knew in the fourth quarter he would make mistakes. So, bada bing, there you go. Yep. But we're here to talk about the Eagles.
Exactly. I think Mike's definitely our quarterback. I think Nick definitely played good when he got in there. I think the thing Mike brings is the running game opens up a lot more because he's more of a threat.
I agree that the yards from Michael in the run game will be there when he's on the field. But I don't think if Nick plays quarterback, I mean, there's no excuse for the Eagles to not run the football. You know, I still think you can run the football because they're going to respect the pass. Once they take somebody out of the box, it's just numbers and man on man. If Michael Vick is not playing this week and Nick Foles is, tough assignment anyway because Tampa Bay's defense is excellent. But you've got to run the football anyway, and Chip loves to run the ball, and I don't see any reason why you can't run the football with LeSean McCoy in this offensive line.
Exactly. You got to run the ball that way. They respect the pass. You know, Tampa Bay's got a good defense. They're a desperate team, and they're off a bye week, so we just got to one game at a time and focus next game.
I agree, Chris. Thanks for the call. I'm not looking ahead in the least. This is a big game for the Eagles on Sunday. I mean, Tampa Bay's rested, relaxed. They're desperate. A winless team once again. And just a note about Michael Vick. There are some reports out there suggesting that Vick will not play on Sunday. Those are just reports. Chip Kelly will address that at 1 o'clock. And I'd like to laud Michael for the way he's playing football. You know, the one run near the goal line. As he's running the football yesterday, I'm thinking of the game against the Pittsburgh Steelers last year. Similar situation. Lunging to the end zone. Ball comes loose. Eagles turn it over, and it was really costly. This time he's tucking it away and taking care of the football. The concern I have with Vic, that completion percentage down to 53.8%. And the Eagles yesterday, zero passing yards in the first quarter. Let's go out to Las Vegas and talk to Jimmy the Geek. Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, Dave. How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
Dave, a little program note. You request predictions.
Yes.
I think that you should post those in terms of, who's on top. The Geek predicted 35-17, if you recall, on your website.
Eagles at Giants? What, you called me last week. You did not predict that number.
No. I put it on notes on your – aren't you DDD on the
– No, I'm not DDD.
The pieces that you do?
No.
Oh. I put it on the website.
You think I comment on my own stories on the website? No.
Well, I thought you were like the moderator guy. Anyway,
no.
I had 35-17. Whatever.
Here's the truth, and now that you bring it up, we do take predictions each week here. Anthony in Connecticut predicted 34-24. And
Dave, I had 35-17.
He will be winning. I believe you, but you didn't call me, Jimmy. That's the thing. That's where we take. This is the official home, the only home. I can't take random predictions all over the website. There's no accounting for that.
All right.
Let's not get into it here.
Hey, Dave.
Yes.
Well, that's spectacular. I'm on the computer because I'm in Vegas.
Yes,
you are. I'm listening to Merle Reese make the calls because I can't watch him at the casino. You can't, like, really hear the game. You know, it's like craziness watching it, you know, in a big venue like that.
Right.
But what, again, I didn't hear Riley Cooper's name called.
Riley Cooper had one target, and it was a fade route from Nick Foles, and he was open, and Nick just missed him. It was really kind of a pitch and catch. I was disappointed by the throw from Nick. Riley did a good job getting open there.
What a 1-2 combination, huh? Vic and Foles, those cats get along with each other.
Yeah.
And despite what the national media, you know, wants to talk about in terms of quarterback controversy, I think they're full of a Campbell soup. I think these guys like each other. I think they respect each other. I like where we are, Dave.
Thank you, Jimmy. Where we are. Thanks for the call. And call me back later this week with a prediction, would you please? Enough of this nonsense, putting it here, there, and everywhere. Is there national media suggesting that Nick and Michael do not get along? It's ridiculous. Is there a suggestion that maybe Chip, when they're both healthy, works them both in? I don't know. All I know is that Nick Foles came off the bench yesterday. The Eagles responded immediately. Then the Eagles lose the lead, and then Nick comes into the fourth quarter and does a very fine job. So kudos to Nick Foles yesterday. I know he was disappointed when Michael was named the starter in the summer. Did not let that affect him and has remained the consummate professional in year number two. The Zompster in New York. Zompy, baby.
Can't spell elite without Eli. How about those birds, baby?
Love it, Zompy.
Dude, let me tell you, man, it's always a pleasure beating the New York Giants, especially living here. You know this.
Yes.
And what a wonderful morning. We're expecting a tornado watch, but you know what? I can care less because the Eagles won. How about those birds, baby?
That tornado watch was DeSean Jackson yesterday. The Giants just couldn't handle it. How about that one?
Let me tell you something, Dave. Well, first of all, it just broke on. I know it's just reports, but it just broke about Vic. You know that, right?
I know it's breaking. I will listen to Chip Kelly at 1 o'clock.
Yes, I agree. Yes, yes, sir. Anyway, but I gotta listen. Defense battled, man. It didn't look. It looked ugly. You know, the slants and crossing routes that were killing us. But I think, what was it? Maybe 10-minute mark, 9-minute mark in the fourth quarter. We started adjusting, take that away. Started pressuring Eli Manning. The team battled. I think it was a well fought. You know, no turnovers, well fought all around, all three phases. Regarding the quarterback situation, I mean, you know, it was unfortunate. I admire Vic's heart. You know, he played, he wanted to stay in, but Vic, Chip Kelly, I think he did the right move by taking him out. He saw he wasn't 100%.
Right.
I credit Foles for coming in and leading us, what was it, an 80-yard drive to get a field goal before half?
70-something.
Something like that. But, you know, I got to credit Chip Kelly there because when you see your quarterback, you know, if his best attribute is running and he sees him rolling out in the end zone and he sees he's not 100%, but Vic was going to stay in there. He did the right thing. He did the right move for the team.
Yes.
And I credit Chip Kelly for that. But we got to get on a streak. You know, none of this lose three, win one, lose two. We got to get on a streak, baby. And let's just go after Tampa Bay, man.
All right. Zompy, thanks for the call, bro.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Yeah, and I do want to say I believe Sunday's game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers will be a very tough game to win. This is a rusty team. You know, I can go through the history of the Eagles and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I don't need to do that for you. They've always given the Eagles problems. Now, obviously, last year, Nick leads the team down for that last-second victory. Maybe that changes the fortunes a little bit here. All right, Ron in Virginia joins us here before we hear from the defensive side of the ball. Ron, welcome to the show.
Hey, Dave. How you doing, buddy?
I'm great. How are you?
I can't complain.
Good.
It was a great game yesterday, a great team win, a character-building win. I applaud Foles for coming in and doing a bang-up job there, but obviously Vic came out on an injury and everything. And truthfully, in my opinion,
yes,
if Vic is healthy and the line is blocking and Chip Kelly is calling right plays, Vic places himself among the top five quarterbacks with those things in place there. You talk about he was going 0-6 there, but of those 0-6s, how many drops by receivers in that 0-6 start in the first quarter?
Maybe two.
Maybe two or three. But I'm saying is Vic presents the best advantage, for the Eagles there, in my personal opinion.
Yeah, sure, it's your opinion. No, look, the only concern I have about this offense, no matter who the quarterback is, Ron, is the red zone. I mean, they've got to score touchdowns, and I like the fact that they came out early and ran the ball in the red zone. Still didn't work. Just giving up that blitz that Hill had, that was behind Todd Harriman's, and decked Shady for the 5-yard loss. Just and then. Michael misses Jason Avant. So, yeah. I mean, they got to score touchdowns in the red zone. This is just enough. 2 out of 5 is not going to get it done.
Right. I agree with you. They have to score in the red zone. But as I look at our receivers, Avant and Cooper, besides Jackson, they present no threat.
Sure they do. Because I'm there doesn't mean I know anything else, but I can see the plays better than you can see them on TV.
Yeah, I'm saying that.
Receivers were open yesterday.
Yeah.
They were open
yesterday.
But
what I'm saying, Dave, is listen to the announcers there. They keep saying that there's no separation when there's single coverage with Avant and Cooper there. I watched the other games. They separate there. And that's why Vic holds the ball all day.
Well, Vic has to trust that I think the way the rules of the game are now, Ron, you've got to throw it up a little bit. Now, I respect the fact that Michael is holding it and he's thinking twice and he's not turning the football over. And, I mean, this has been a problem his whole career. But I think there are times in the NFL where you've got to throw the football up and allow your receivers to make the back shoulder catch or, you know, in Riley Cooper's case, out-muscle a defensive back. The rules are such – a defensive back can't even touch a wide receiver now.
Yeah. You know, but like I said, as I look at other teams there, my biggest concern also, too, is why don't we use DeMarcus Johnson more?
Yeah, it's a valid question. Hey, Ron, thanks for the call. It's a valid question. I don't know why DeMarcus. The Eagles have not used 4 wides, and frankly, they haven't used James Casey either. But they're still, look, there are issues to work out here offensively, no doubt. And what's it really mean, moving 20 to 20? Well, it means the Eagles' offense is moving the football. Number 2 in the league in total offense, yards. 8th in the league in scoring points. Not a bad performance from a first-year offense when these players still don't know the scheme innately. This offense, okay, the yards, very impressive. Passing game, decent. 1st in the league in rushing. 3rd downs, excellent. Red zone, not excellent, and that is your bugaboo right there. I don't care about time of possession necessarily, but get that red zone up, and you'll see that points per game rising dramatically. All right, we've talked about the offense for much of the show. We're going to talk about the defense as well on the other side. And Chip Kelly's press conference, what is the official update on quarterback Michael Vick? We'll hear from the head coach in just a moment. Eagles Live continues. Hang in there.
And action. That's a wrap! What are you doing?
What? These Dunkin' wraps are delicious.
Can I get a wrap too?
Try Dunkin's new Angus Steak and Cheese Wrap with barbecue sauce and cheddar cheese. Now that's a wrap. America runs on Dunkin'.
At Sports Authority, we have all the name brands you love, like Nike, Under Armour, Adidas, and The North Face. We carry fitness equipment, camping, bikes, baseball, and more. We offer a rewards program, The League, which earns you 5% back. And we'll match prices with our ad price match promise. So why do we do it? Because we love sports just as much as you do. All the best brands, all the best value. Sports Authority, all things sporting good.
One more! Let's go, yo! Woo! No!
One more!
One more, let's get it, let's go.
Proven hydration to help replace what you sweat out.
NovaCare Rehabilitation is the exclusive provider of physical therapy to the Philadelphia Eagles. With 90 locations in the Delaware Valley, NovaCare maximizes the physical well-being in patients of all ages and abilities. Our team of medical professionals puts you back in your game after surgery or injury. The Eagles choose NovaCare, so can you. Call 1-800-770-NOVA. NovaCare. Recovery starts here.
Here we are, me and you, on the road. And we know that it goes on.
You're the boss of your life, in charge of making memories and keeping promises. Ask your financial professional how Lincoln Financial can help you take charge of your future.
I got you white chocolate pumpkin.
Oh, please don't call me pumpkin.
No, it's white chocolate and pumpkin.
Oh.
Pumpkin.
Ha-ha.
Pumpkin is back at Dunkin' Donuts. Hurry in for delicious pumpkin coffees and lattes today. America runs on Dunkin'.
Make sure to have the Eagles with you wherever you go by downloading our official Eagles app, which provides news, notes, features, and all of our live shows.
We welcome you back. Dave Spadaro here. It's Eagles Live on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We're coming your way every day between Monday and Thursday at noon. We will carry all press conferences, coaches in the morning, players in the afternoon live. Won't necessarily be part of Eagles Live, but it will be part of our expanded coverage to give you the access that you want from your Philadelphia Eagles. So remember, every morning we have the press conferences from the coaches live, players live in the afternoon, and then Eagles live at noon. Make sure you tune in every morning at 7 o'clock. We post our five things to know today, and we'll give you the broadcast schedule each day there. So check that out, PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We started it last week, and it's been very popular, and we're going to keep doing that. All right, the schedule. We got a big one. Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Sunday, at Tampa Bay. Yeah, it's easy to look ahead. The heartbreak Cowboys the following week, coming to Lincoln Financial Field with the Giants on October 27th. And then how about those Oakland Raiders last night defeating the San Diego Chargers to get to 2-3. Raiders might be a little bit better than you thought. Then it gets really interesting. At Lambeau Field, home with the Redskins, bye week. How's that last foursome? How the last five games look? Cardinals home, Lions home, at Minnesota, home with Chicago. A little jaunt through that division, and then a home game for the Cowboys hosting the Eagles to end this 2013 regular season. Will a division be on the line? Division title be on the line on December 29th. We'll see. Ticketmaster, let you know that the NFL, the schedule is presented by the NFL Ticket Exchange, powered by Ticketmaster for the only 100% verified way to buy or sell NFL tickets. Visit NFL.com/ticket exchange. All right, the defense really getting into the act on Sunday, forcing four turnovers, doing a nice job against the run. David Wilson hurt. That obviously hurt what the Giants were trying to do. But Michael Kendricks, a couple of takeaways. Bradley Fletcher really battling Hakeem Nicks. Now, Nicks got some of his, but Fletcher, I thought, did a nice job down the field. And Brandon Boykin, a pass defensed, a huge, sensational interception. Good play on special teams. And a great job on Victor Cruz, who was pretty much meaningless, which is rare to say, from the slot as well as from the outside. There's the fumble recovery from Kendricks. He also had an interception that led to 3 points. Play that man downhill. He gets to the football. Good pressure. Eli Manning, three. Intentional grounding calls. Eagles active up front, doing a nice job. And it certainly made for a pleasant conversation after the game with defensive coordinator Bill Davis.
It was a great, great outing by the defensive guys. They came up and made the plays when we needed them. It was a good team win. We took a step forward today. It was a good, solid step forward, and we're excited about it.
How resilient were they with the way the Giants were able to come back, but
you know, you guys were able to put your foot down and come out of the way there in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, the players showed a lot of character today. They, you know, they scored two touchdowns on the second half on us, and it started slipping a little bit, and then the guys, you know, got a better grip on it and made the plays to give the offensive ball back. And that's what we've talked about all along, is let's get the ball back in our offense's hands and good things happen.
Bill, how is your approach to this Manning rather than the one last week?
Well, they really are a different animal. The offenses are so different, and the first part of that is being that one's an offensive coordinator on the field and the other one, you know, plays are being called in and he can check at the line. So they're both outstanding quarterbacks, and well, they probably threw 10, 11 balls deep on us tonight, and the corners did a great job staying deep.
But you can bring pressure to this one, right? More than you could.
Yeah,
week.
At times. And the guy, we had a good pass rush tonight and had put some pressure on Eli, and that helps.
Well, what did you see, Billy?
Michael Kendricks had a good, solid game. He really did. You know, he had the fumble recovery and then the interception on the tip ball. So I think all of them as a group, like I said, we took a nice, solid step forward today that we have to build on. We got a lot of work left, but it was a good step.
Did you challenge him at all this week? I mean, especially after last week. Do you have to do that?
Well, after a loss like we had against Denver, it was more about, you know, gaining confidence in the techniques that we're using and the defenses that we're playing. It wasn't about ripping and yelling and screaming. You know, everybody's got so much pride that when you get a beat down like we got in Denver, the only way to get back is to get back to fundamentals and the smaller things. And that's what we did this weekend.
All right, we take a look at the numbers for Bill Davis's group. Not where he wants them to be. And everybody acknowledges a lot of work to be done, but it is getting a bit better. And I got to be honest with you guys, the defenses in the NFL, these numbers are not obviously prime time, but boy, it's just so hard to play defense in the NFL. Like the turnover margin, that's a positive. Red zone, not terrible. And the run defense, which is going to be key this week against Tampa Bay, hanging in there right in the middle of the pack for Bill Davis. Now, the Eagles' defensive backs very pleased with their performance for the most part. Now, Hakeem Nicks had a big game. Reuben Randall had two touchdown catches. That happens in the NFL. But the Eagles were able to do what they wanted to do against Victor Cruz. And the D-backs speaking out after the 36-21 victory over the Giants on Sunday.
Well, yeah, I was in underneath coverage and man-to-man, basically, with a safety over the top, and I was responsible for any inside cut. And, you know, I know he's great at, you know, he's real shifty and does a good job of head faking. I mean, as soon as I saw him head fake outside, I just tried to keep my leverage, and I saw the ball, and I just made a play.
We knew they took shots, and, we weren't surprised by that. They were, like you were saying, they were coming early in the game and later in the game, so we had to be ready at all times.
You know, once you get a turnover, you know, it's kind of contagious, man. You know, because, you know, after boycott the first one, I'm like, man, I need one. You know, Kevin, like, I'm going to get me one, you know. So, like I said, it's kind of contagious, and it just gives us energy, man, and excitement, man, which allows us to go back out the next drive, you know, and try to make plays.
Yeah.
You know, just to get right back on the winning side and, you know, division game, so it's very important to us. You know, we started good, and in that second half, you know, we didn't do what we wanted to coming out, but testament to our teams, our coaches, everybody fighting hard. You know, I think we got a lot of potential, but we got to just finish. That's the big thing.
You know, our pass rush was playing hard. The linebackers did well, and we were able to do some things in the back end as well. So I think as a whole, our defense played well. Offense put points on the board. So we played the game that we want to play, and we got to get back to practice, keep things going, and get ready for the next game on Sunday.
Lest we forget the kicking game. Alex Henry had missed three field goals in the first four Eagles games, but he came back on Sunday and validated the confidence Chip Kelly has shown in him. Five, count them, five field goals made for Henry. Good kickoffs. Alex Henry back on his game, and that's kind of what everybody wants. There you go. So now, we kind of just keep it that way, Alex, all right? Very talented guy, outstanding first two seasons here. He talked about getting back on track after the game.
Alex, it's been a rough couple past weeks, missing some field goals here or there. You said you were going to be fine. You went out there today, five field goals. How did it feel to get back out there and get in rhythm?
It felt real good, actually, just to have a good game and hit some field goals. It felt good. I knew it was coming and just kept working and pushing through it, and it turned out well today. So,
you talked about kind of slowing it down and seeing the ball longer. Is that what was happening today?
Yeah, I mean, Fip was the one that brought that up, and it did miracles. I guess I was hitting the ball really well today, and it wasn't changing a big thing. It was just a little thing that we were off on, and hit them well today, so I was happy.
Coach Kelly this whole time has been saying how confident he's been in you. Did that kind of help you through the whole thing?
Yeah, that definitely helps if someone gets up and stands up for you. But that's Chip's great at that. He stands up for all the guys, I think. So it's just, even though I've been struggling the last few weeks, he was right there for me, and I had a good one today. And now it's not worrying about this past game. It's on to the next one. So it's just putting together good weeks, and I'll move on from there.
You put 5 field goals up on the board. That's a career best for you. Even though that means that drives are kind of stalling at the end, do you still kind of look at it as a great day for yourself?
Yeah, so it was a great day. I was in the field goals well and kickoffs real well, so I was happy with that. And you take any day like that as a win, I guess you could say.
Well done, Alex Henry. Well done, Donnie Jones. Good job on special teams for the Eagles on Sunday, helping the Eagles get to 2-3 and beat the Giants. All right, when we return, we take some phone calls, and Chip Kelly meets the media amid reports that Michael Vick already ruled out for Sunday's game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We'll see how much validity those reports have when the head coach meets the media on the other side here. It's Eagles Live. Dave Spadaro with you. We are coming right back.
Back in the day, I busted up some plays, but you'll never find me in busted coverage because I have auto insurance from AAA. AAA gives this safety blanket coverage and saves me my favorite color, green. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
It's the end of an era.
All the parties, the stories.
I'm gonna miss your smell.
You were my first.
What?
I knew it.
It's true.
Oh man, I'm sorry I broke your leg.
I wrote a song. Sorry. Here we go.
Keep the good times going with the crisp, refreshing taste of Bud Light. Here we go.
Whoa. Check out this new couch.
You, Jones.
That's me. Mm-hmm.
Your home for the most live sports. Xfinity.
Ready for a little fun? You could scratch your way to instant winning. Play the Pennsylvania Lottery's new instant game, Jack-O-Lantern Jackpot, with 10 top prizes of $50,000. It's kind of fun when it all comes together. Keep on scratching.
These days, you can find me on the road, at the movies, shopping, or traveling. And I do it all with AAA. For roadside assistance, discounts, and travel planning, AAA has you covered. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
Imagine a pill with a camera inside that takes pictures of your digestive tract painlessly. At Jefferson, we're among the first in the area to use it, and we're working on the next generation now. But that's really just a snapshot of all the innovative things our team is doing, which may be why Jefferson has earned a national reputation in digestive disorders, not to mention the trust of more patients than just about any hospital in the tri-state area.
Discover the Jefferson difference. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW for an appointment.
All right, we've got a special for you today on PhiladelphiaEagles.com because, hey, when the Eagles win, you win. Any orders you make today, you get free ground shipping. Just use the code NFCEASTWIN at checkout to get your free ground shipping today. When the Eagles win, you win not only here, but when you are driving around the Philadelphia area, get on over to Dunkin' Donuts. Well, make sure, first of all, that you downloaded the Dunkin' Donuts mobile app. And when the Eagles win, you win the next day a free medium 14-ounce hot coffee or 24-ounce iced coffee the day after the Eagles win. So you see how this works. Eagles win yesterday, and you benefit the day after. This is what happens when the Eagles win. Everybody is happy. We take some phone calls now. E in New Jersey joins us. E, welcome to the show.
How you doing, Dave?
All right, brother. How are you?
I'm good after a solid victory yesterday.
Yes.
But I got
some
concerns.
I'm with you.
First off, I think Bowles played really well, and I'm happy for that. He's a serviceable backup in that sense.
Yes, yes.
And then the defense, they played good, but there was this one play in these two plays in the first quarter where they tried to blow the top off the coverage. They threw a deep ball, I think it was to Nix or Cruz.
Yeah, Nix early, yep.
Yeah, and then we defended it well. And then the next play, they went right back at it, and they got a huge gain, and that was kind of frustrating.
Yeah, I don't blame you. So you're going to tell me about, what, the safeties?
Yeah, I think our safety play can be better. And there's been a lot of rumors speculating that Jarius Byrd from the Bills is available. What do you think about that as far as maybe
I will tell you, I talked to my good buddy Adam Kaplan about this extensively. And here's the point that I really don't get into it, what teams report. But he's got a bad back. He wants, top-of-the-line safety money. So the Eagles could certainly probably give up a draft pick, make a trade, bring him in here, see what he does, and then have an opportunity to negotiate a deal. Or wait till the end of the season, see what the market bears. Doesn't look like Byrd will be back in Buffalo. And if that's the case, he's a free agent at the end of the season. Jarius Byrd's season has been so uneven for Buffalo. He's just not been able to contribute anything. I know he's a talented player, and I know there are a lot of questions about the Eagles' safeties. And I personally wouldn't be afraid to deal a draft pick at some point for a very talented player. I can't give you the whole book on Jarius Byrd. It's just not as simple as go out and get Jarius Byrd.
What do you if he was available and the Eagles were interested? What do you think?
If he's healthy, if he's healthy, he's a tremendous football player.
But what value? Like what
I don't
kind
know.
Of
that's
rank of a
value. E is in the eye of the beholder. Now, Aeneas Williams got traded for a fifth-round draft pick. Marshall Faulk got traded for a second-round pick and a fifth-round pick. These are great football players. It's when you trade them, to whom you trade them, and what you set the value at. I am not going to sit here and tell you what the market could bear for somebody like that. I have no idea. Mid-round draft pick? Mid to late-round draft pick? How about that?
All right. Thanks, Dave.
You got it, man. I know the Jarius Byrd question is just rampant all season long. This is a Buffalo Bills player who has had some contract issues with the Bills. Bills saying over the weekend that they're open to trade him. Eagles, obviously, one of the teams that everybody out there is talking about. I'll tell you what, listen to the Howie Roseman show tonight on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Starts at 5 o'clock, and I would not be surprised if Howie's asked about Jarius Byrd. All right, JR where is JR calling from? Chicago. Hey, JR.
What's going on, Dave? You forgot already? Chicago.
No,
it just
wasn't spelled right. It's early. So, JR, you came close last week, buddy. You were at 28-17.
I'm going to do it this week, Dave. You know, I always seem to have a little bit of luck in Tampa, so write down my prediction. 24-20 Eagles.
24. So, JR is going to be our first venture into the prediction game for Tampa Bay. Okay. What do you think about this football team at 2-3?
You know what, Dave? I think we got some room for improvement like everyone else does, but I think we're heading a positive direction. Yesterday was good. No turnovers. As long as we can stay in that lane with no turnovers, we got every shot to win every single game.
I'm with you on that. I like the way Michael's been playing controlled football. I like the way Nick ran it yesterday. And clearly, listen, I believe that Tampa Bay's defense is not only good, but it's outstanding. And that's how the Eagles lose this game, is if they go in there and turn the football over.
I don't think so. 24-20, mark me down, Dave. Have a great Eagles day,
Thank
man.
You. So I'm telling you, Eagles don't turn the football over. They win it against a Tampa Bay team with a rookie quarterback. They've got some offensive line woes. They have been really struggling to score points. Mike Glennon, the quarterback, makes a start. Big kid, not particularly mobile. Let's see if the Eagles can get something going early. Get a lead. I know there's going to be a ton of Eagles fans down there. There's always so many Eagles fans when the team goes to Tampa Bay, Tampa, Miami, anywhere in Florida, Jacksonville, bunch of people down there for the preseason game. The road support is always remarkable. And in that stadium, let's make Sunday a home feel for your Philadelphia Eagles. Boy, wouldn't it be great to get to 3-3 and then come back to Philadelphia and get on the winning track against division rivals Dallas and the New York Giants. Chip Kelly coming up here in just a moment. If you have a phone call, give us 1-215-339-6709. Otherwise, we are waiting for Chip amid reports that Michael Vick, and these are just reports, likely to miss Sunday's game against Tampa Bay. We'll see just how official those reports are when Chip Kelly meets the media. And again, really did a lot of damage yesterday with his legs. Passing game weird yesterday. 0 yards in the first quarter. Vick finishing with 100 yards, 104 yards, I believe, throwing the football. And, I'm sorry, 105 yards throwing the football. And Nick Foles came in and did a good job. All right, let's go to Virginia for a quick one. Abrar joins us. Hey, Abrar.
Hey, Dave. How's it going?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Good. Great, actually. Good. So I'm very impressed. Definitely a good win. But then again, to bring things back into perspective, we're supposed to win that game because they were 0-4.
Right.
And, you know, same thing next week. Got to beat the Buccaneers. Can't have a letdown.
Yeah, I'm all for beating the teams that you are supposed to beat. I mean, it doesn't matter to me. Just get wins. I'm not at all one of those. Well, we've beaten teams with this combined record and lost to teams with that combined record, and yet I just care about wins.
Yeah, and just one quick thing about the red zone issue that I think that they need to use their tight ends more. That's just the way it is. Tight ends are big and tall, and it's got to create some one-on-ones or jump ball situations where the you know big receivers can win. That's my take on the red zone.
Yeah, something's got to give. I don't know exactly what it is. I actually liked yesterday, Abrar. I liked some of the run plays in the red zone, but they didn't work too well. Obviously, LeSean McCoy scoring, and later on that beautiful fade route to DeSean Jackson that falls through. So it comes down to execution for me. Abrar, do you want to give me a prediction for Sunday? Just get us rolling in that right direction?
Sure. 34-20.
34-20. Thanks, Abrar.
Hey, no problem.
All right, Chip Kelly meeting the media the day after the win over New York.
So as the longest tenured coach in Philadelphia, can you kind of reflect back on your...
It's kind of the crazy reality of what we deal with, but it's unfortunate. I know Pete a little bit. He's a good guy, and I think as a coach, you understand that's a possibility going in, but it's still tough. You know, I think that there's another college coach got let go this week at Miami of Ohio, and, you know, it's hard. It's a reality of our profession, and it's unfortunate, and you feel for the guys, and you feel for their families. So,
what were the results of Michael Vick's MRI, and will he play Sunday?
I don't know if he'll play Sunday. Right now he's day-to-day, and we'll see how he goes through the rehab process.
Did he take the MRI?
Yeah, he took an MRI. I don't get the results. They just tell me what he is and what he isn't.
Wow.
Incoming.
I didn't really ask. They just said he's day-to-day. We'll see how he is. I don't know. You know, I know he probably won't be going tomorrow, but we'll see where it is after that.
I'm not asking this hypothetically. I'm asking this actually. Can Nick Foles win the starting job by playing?
Can he win the starting job by playing? Well, if he's playing, then he's starting.
No, but can he win the job going forward if he plays well enough?
If he plays well? Yeah, there's always open competition. So, you know, Nick goes out there and goes 100 for 100 and throws 27 touchdown passes, and yeah.
Can we gather around you?
What's that?
Can we gather around you?
I'll yell. Want to go inside?
Yeah,
I'm
going
inside.
All right. Get right out there.
Give us like 5 minutes to
get
there.
All righty. We're going to take a little break here on Eagles Live. We're going to move that press conference inside to the auditorium. So there will be a delay. We're going to take some phone calls. And you heard that Michael Vick is day-to-day and Chip Kelly unsure if he will play on Sunday against Tampa Bay. We'll be back in a moment here. Eagles Live continues with Chip Kelly's press conference. Nice, dry, comfortable auditorium of the NovaCare Complex.
Back in the day, I busted up some plays, but you'll never find me in busted coverage because I have auto insurance from AAA. AAA gives this safety blanket coverage and saves me my favorite color, green. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
It's the end of an era.
All the parties.
the stories.
I'm gonna miss your smell.
You were my first.
What? I knew it.
It's true.
Oh, man, I'm sorry I broke your leg.
I wrote a song. Sorry. Here we go.
Keep the good times going with the crisp, refreshing taste of Bud Light. Here we go.
Whoa. Check out this new couch.
You, Jones.
That's me.
You're home for the most live sports. Xfinity.
Together, we make the NFL Ticket Exchange the only place to buy and sell verified authentic NFL tickets, which means we make sure your name is on your ticket.
Enjoy the game, Gary.
Guaranteeing the day belongs to you. Guaranteed, with your name written all over them. NFL Ticket Exchange. Together, we make football.
These days, you can find me on the road, at the movies, shopping, or traveling. And I do it all with AAA. For roadside assistance, discounts, and travel planning, AAA has you covered. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
Imagine a pill with a camera inside that takes pictures of your digestive tract painlessly. At Jefferson, we're among the first in the area to use it, and we're working on the next generation now. But that's really just a snapshot of all the innovative things our team is doing, which may be why Jefferson has earned a national reputation in digestive disorders, not to mention the trust of more patients than just about any hospital in the tri-state area.
Discover the Jefferson difference. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW for an appointment.
Make sure to have the Eagles with you wherever you go by downloading our official Eagles app, which provides news, notes, features, and all of our live shows.
Well, guys, I think the press conference now going back outside is this weather system moving very quickly through South Philadelphia. We will hear from Chip Kelly in his entirety in just a couple of moments here. In the minute or so that he had with the media, he said that Michael Vick, day-to-day, with his hamstring injury, and that Kelly did not know whether Vic would play Sunday against Tampa Bay. So amid all these reports that Vic is out for the game, that is not the official word from head coach Chip Kelly. And as soon as the press conference area is set up and ready to go, Chip Kelly steps to the podium. We'll have him live for you right here. So hang in there. In the meantime, we'll take a phone call or two, and let's start in New Hampshire with Camille, who joins us on Eagles Live. Camille, hi.
Hey, Dave, how you doing?
I'm doing great, sir. How are you?
Good. I'm so happy that we won.
Yay.
I'm surrounded with Giant fans every single day, and you can tell how happy I am right now. That's all I wanted to say to you guys.
Well, I'm glad you called. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, man. Great call. Camille's happy. He's happy. I'm happy. You're happy. See how it all works when we're happy, happy? When the Eagles win, we're happy, and you're happy. Now, Mother Nature wasn't happy a few moments ago when the rain came down and interrupted Chip Kelly's press conference. We will have that for you right now. Chip Kelly back at the podium.
Eric, are we good?
Nothing.
Go. Less moved.
I'm going to follow up.
Roots took my seat.
Concentration. Your seat moved. You were
over there. Yeah, I'm going to follow up on that last question, if I can. Yesterday you said Mike's still your quarterback. Is that the case? Regardless of if he's out a week,
that's not the case for anybody. I mean, if someone comes in and puts on an unbelievable performance, you have to take it all into account. So that's my point.
And what's the barometer for unbelievable? I mean, you said 100 for 100 and 37.
I don't know, and I don't have those answers. So we can go through this a million times. You know, if Nick plays this week and does an outstanding job, then that would be great for everybody involved. So.
Coach, I think we're part of here with the ring.
You
just reiterate that he's day-to-day for us.
Yeah, Mike's day-to-day. Had an MRI. They said he's got a pulled hamstring, and we'll see where he is coming back from that. So,
is there a grade on the injury? Like,
I didn't ask that last. That's why I was answering that question earlier. They just said it was pulled. So we'll see how he is. And I know the Mike, I know he'll work extremely hard at the rehab part of it, and we'll see how he goes as the week goes along.
How long in the week can you go with him day-to-day?
How many days in a week are there?
There are 6 days until the game.
But I don't know. It depends. I'm not a guy that I'm not going to tell you, Coach, you said Thursday, and then Sunday they say he's 100%, and I say he's playing. So I don't know until we see how it goes. I'm not going to predict the future. I don't know where we are with that. Okay?
Coach, does he need to be 100% in order to be able to go in your mind?
I'm not going to put him out there if it's going to hurt him, you know, and that's the biggest thing. And that's when he was in the game and we went back in, they thought he was good to go back in. And then I watched him try to get away from the rush, and, you know, that wasn't fair to Mike. And I'm not going to put him in that situation, so we'll see how he is.
Do you prepare, like, two different set of, like, plays?
No, we do the same things offensively with Nick that we did with Mike. You know, so we didn't have to deviate much from anything, you know, in terms of what we're doing. And I think that's the beauty of those guys and having an understanding. We've had enough time with both those guys. You know, we've all been here since April that we got an understanding. Obviously, there are some things that Nick does a little bit different than Mike does, but it's not like we have to say, hey, we're going to be an I-formation team on Sunday if Nick's in the game. So,
after watching the film, what was the primary reason for the run game slipping after Nick went in?
I don't know if it slipped. I don't think I called as many run plays. You know, so I think if you're just going to look at it statistically, they started doing some line stunts up front and did a decent job with that. But I think we were trying to take advantage of some of the things they were trying to do with us coverage-wise and get some guys uncovered. And so it was more of, I think from a play call standpoint, there were a lot more passes called in the third quarter than there were previously to that. So.
Well, you said they didn't have to respect the read option once Michael went out. Is that what you saw looking at the tape, and how do you...
Defending it?
Yeah,
no, but we didn't really run the read option, so, you know, I think that's a big misconception. We didn't run much before that either, so, you know, it just depends on how many plays we're going to run. We ran some sweeps in there, you know, run an outside zone in there, so there's a little bit different concepts that we were running in the run game anyway, so...
Nick has been more productive in the red zone than Michael. It's limited, obviously, you know, body of work, but... I think Mike is 5-for-19 in the red zone passing. He's got a couple of running touchdowns. But any reason for that disparity? I think Nick had the 2 touchdowns in the red zone.
I mean, I do know this. I know we held on to the ball better. You know, our guys caught the ball better in the red zone. So, but I think there's too short to just say, you know, that second half, you know, compared to where we are. So, you know, I think as a team, we need to do it. Overall, as a team, we need to do a better job in the red zone. We still kick 5 field goals. On Sunday, and you know, we need to get those to be 7s instead of 3s. So the entire team needs to do a better job in the red zone.
Coach, you said that you didn't run that much read option on Sunday, and you said the game plan doesn't change regardless of who you have as quarterback. Do you feel like the read option is just as viable with Foles in there?
Depends on how teams are defending us.
Nick seemed to be in sync with the receivers and some anticipation throws and some timing throws, even the fact that he just come in kind of cold. And what does that speak to, the fact that he was able to...
I think it's, you know, the work that Nick gets in practice and how he prepares. And, you know, as we've talked to Nick since we made a decision at quarterback, as we've said before, you're a chin strap away from having to go in the game. And some guys, that's cliche talk, but other guys take that extremely seriously. So I think Nick has prepared himself like he's going to be the starter every single week. And when his opportunity came, I think he took advantage of it. So.
What stood out for you when you watched Nick, for better or worse, when you went and watched the game again?
I think what stood out for me is basically where we are as an offense. I still think we're inconsistent. I think Nick was inconsistent at times when, you know, we could have delivered the ball and we should have had some more plays. I think every game so far we've still left, even though we've been productive, we've still left a lot of yardage on the field. But I think like Nick and Mike, both those guys understand what we really mean about not turning the ball over. That's 2 straight games without turnovers from either quarterback that's played in those games. And again, I think that the things that we get that we didn't have in the last couple of games, we got to clean up the penalties again. We had 3 false starts, which is kind of it's hard for us to understand how we're getting those, but we got to continue to work on those, and we got to pick up the drops.
Where do you think you guys are in the process of getting the play in and getting it run at the pace that you want? Obviously, it's still a work in progress, but do you see it improving as each game?
Yeah, I see us improving. I think our guys have a better understanding, so I'm pleased with where we are so far, but I still think we have a long way to go offensively.
How much do you think it helps Nick that he had all those reps with the first team during the offseason, and, you know, he's played with those guys, he's played behind those linemen and all that?
I think it helps, you know, and that's part of what we do, is that we do get a lot of reps in OTAs and in mini camp and in preseason camp, and I think there's a reason to that, and there's a benefit to that. So, you know, if we had quote unquote named a starter last mini camp and everybody would have been happy because we had a starting quarterback, we'd be sitting here now saying, well, the second guy didn't get enough reps. You know, I think you know, as a group, we understand kind of how we approach this thing, and there's a reason we try to get as many reps as we do in the off season and in preseason camp, so that for all guys, they get an opportunity to go in there and play. You know, at tight end, we're rotating guys. At receiver, we're rotating guys. So at running back, we're rotating guys, because a lot of those guys have had opportunities in preseason camp and in back in OTAs to get reps. So I think that has benefited him.
How many snaps had he been getting in practice the last several weeks, roughly percentage-wise? You mentioned that they had backups have been getting some first team reps.
Percentage wise, I'd probably say 20, 15, 20. I don't know. Could be off of that. But he does get reps.
Significant.
He does get reps with the ones. And they get a lot of reps with, you know, simulating the other offense. I think they got a lot of work. They did a lot of really good work when they were, you know, the Denver Broncos week, because Peyton was a ton in the gun, throwing the ball, getting the ball out. So I think, you know, Nick got a lot of work that week too. You know, and if there's a lot of times when plays are similar plays from a pattern recognition standpoint, things like that, we try to put it into our terminology for him. So.
Does Barkley get a lot of reps this, or I should say a lot, does Barkley get more reps this week in case he's dressed?
Yeah, obviously if Mike's not going to go full, then the number two quarterback and number three quarterback got to get more reps. So.
We all got more snaps, or significantly more yesterday. Is that part of the direction you're trying to go, to identify some guys can get a little more separation, or have you just been trying to work him in and it hasn't been happening up to this point?
Nah, that's just a credit to Jeff. I think we got him late. You know, he wasn't here in the offseason, wasn't here for most of preseason camp because of the trade. And when we got him, it's just a matter of Jeff starting to get a real good feel for what we're doing offensively and keep showing us things in practice every day that we need to get him on the field a little bit more.
How is Patrick
doing? Pat's another guy this week. Those will be him and Mike will be the two guys we've got to keep an eye on. You know, I think he's improved, and it's just a matter of how he can function. I think his strength is back from what Chris told us. You know, so it's a matter of how he functions and carry himself around the field. But he's another guy. Him and Mike are the two guys from an injury standpoint that we need to keep an eye on.
Teams are going to defend you differently with Nick in as far as your running game. Can you counter with different things that we haven't seen yet, or can you make Do you expect to have to make some changes?
It does depend on how people are going to defend you. But the Giants' running game, the Giants' defense in the second half didn't change from what they gave us in the first half. So.
Well, they had a spy on Nick at some point. Then when he was out of the game, they dropped the spy.
Not to film myself. They were playing man free. Where was that linebacker?
He was rushing a lot if Vic wasn't in there.
Yeah, that's what they do. That's the same MO that the Chiefs had, same MO we've had for the last couple of weeks. It's been the same exact thing. Look at the pass that Mike threw to Jason Avant for a touchdown. After the play action fake, one guy took the back. When they realized Mike was in the pocket, then the linebacker adds. That's been a flavor of the week for the last 3 weeks against us. So,
what have you seen from Nate Allen the last two or three weeks? It seems like, you know, he's played quite a bit better at safety.
Yeah, I think Nate's improved. You know, again, him getting a grasp of what we're doing, getting a better understanding of everything that our defensive package entails. But I think he's starting to see things. Things are starting to slow down a little bit for Nate, and he's starting to get an idea of kind of what the route recognition is, what's coming at him, and things like that. And I just, you know, he's a guy that I've seen over the last couple of weeks really make some strides from an improvement standpoint.
There's only so many spots on a starting defense, but is Brandon Boykin a guy you would like to see a little more of?
No, I think he's doing a really good job at nickel, you know, and we're in nickel enough where I look at Brandon as a starter, you know, so I think it's really difficult. If we say, hey, we're going to flip Brandon out and go make him play outside now, then who's going to play nickel? You know, and I think we were down, especially with Pat out being at the safety position, we were down there a little bit. So, you know, I think he's fit in really nicely there. And when we're in nickel a predominant amount of time, we think of our nickel defense as a starting defense, depending on how people are going to deploy themselves. So.
I think you played 45 of 73 snaps, so there's still a number there that possibly not having one of the better guys on defense out there. You know, isn't there sometimes the goal to get the best guys out there on defense? And
the guys in for what positions they're supposed to play, but I think when you're getting into a 21 game, it depends on what you're going to get. And you only got two receivers in the game. You know, we're certainly not going to bring Brandon in as a safety spot. You know, and we're happy with Fletch and Kerry outside. So.
Is Marcus the punt returner regardless of the spot on the field now?
It just depends on the situation and where we are with it. But we can use Deshaun back there. We have. I think, you know, it just really depends on where it is and depends on where Deshaun is, how many reps he's getting. You know, how does he feel? So, you know, we'll use him again this season. It just depends on really kind of how the situation is and who the kicker is, too. you know, you get an opportunity to return. I know where we get a little bit more spray kicks and lower kicks and balls bouncing around on the ground from the Giants, so that was part of our factor making into those decisions too. But if you got a guy who's going to boom it and give us a shot to return some things, we'll try to get him in the game.
First quarter, third and nine, you have a run with Poit for 5 yards. What was the philosophy on running on third and nine?
We thought that was a good play call at the time based on the defense that they were deployed in.
You thought you could get a first down on that run? Would you have gone for it on fourth down if they hadn't taken the penalty?
Yeah, we got the ball over to 50, and we were talking about going for it on fourth down. So. But usually on third and nine, like when you call a play, you're hoping to get a first down. So.
Well, of course.
It wasn't. We weren't going to take an eight.
Right. You're a math guy. I mean, the percentages of running on third
but
and
not
nine
if people are playing man-to-man coverage and totally turning your back on what's going on and you have no run support. You know, that's part of the thought process when you do that. If you're just going to just totally abandon and you catch people when they're just totally trying to play the run, you know, and just say totally trying to play the pass, you know, a lot of people pop runs in those situations. So.
Sorry to be repetitive. Any reports that are out there that says a decision has been made on next week's starting quarterback are inaccurate?
We have not made any decision on who our starting quarterback is next week.
Barkley could conceivably be a chin strap away this Sunday. How do you feel like he's coming along? Do you think that he's ready?
I think Matt's really done a nice job. You know, it's hard when you have three quarterbacks and getting reps and things like that. Matt does a really good job on the scout squad. I know Billy takes those guys individually every day during one of our team periods, whether it's Nick or Matt, takes them through a kind of a throwing progression. We've worked Matt out every day before, every Sunday before games, you know, and I've seen Matt improve. And I think the one thing about Matt is he's, he loves football. So he's around here all the time. He studies all the time. Obviously, he's not going to have as many reps as you would feel really comfortable in with a guy getting thrown into that situation, not going to have the reps that Nick had. But I feel comfortable in what Matt can do as a quarterback.
When Nick, during the preseason, he didn't really throw the ball downfield that much. Against the Giants, he seemed to throw a bunch of balls downfield. Why do you think that was? Is it more of the
play call?
What they were doing? Was it the play call?
Play call and kind of what the defense is giving you. So, you know, I think part of where you throw the ball is about being a good decision maker. And I think a lot of times in Nick's situation in preseason, we'd call some things down the field, but they're in coverage, so Nick would check it down, which is what he's supposed to do.
When teams blitz your offense, do you view that as an opportunity to be aggressive and to take advantage of a weakness in the secondary?
Specifically or in general? Sure.
Did you have a chance to
you can follow if you want. I don't know. People aren't blitzing us much.
I was kind of looking at it from the opposite point of view. When your defense blitzes, I know for some quarterbacks it's a green light for them to go take advantage of an opportunity.
But that's football. You know, when you bring one more than they can protect, you also expose yourself on the back end. You know, so now you're playing man with no help, you know, so now you have to cover them. You can't funnel them to your help, and that becomes that great chess match in the game, you know. And then do you show blitz but then bail and play zone and try to get him to elicit a hot throw and try to get the ball thrown quick, and then we rally and go make a tackle, and you kind of go back and forth between that game, you know, and the guys that are the best at it, and right now, you know, the Peyton Mannings of the world, it's very, very difficult to fool them, you know, and he's five games in and no one's really fooled him yet. You may get him on one play. You know, I still look at I think the best play he made when he played us was when they tried to get, you know, it was over towards their bench. It was, we tried to get him on something and it wasn't there, and he just took the ball and threw it in the back of Welker's calf. Like, he wasn't going to make the play. He just, all right, give me a second down now. I'll go now. You know, he kind of came here. It's not there. Ball's on the ground. All right, give me another snap. And then two plays later, they're in the end zone for a touchdown. So, you know, it just depends on who you are. And I think when you're playing a younger quarterback, you can fool them a little bit more. And that's kind of what that process is about. It's you're playing that catch-22 of if you do blitz them, are you getting home in time and really getting some pressure? And I thought what happened in the fourth quarter is we got pressure on Eli, and we had guys in his face, and then all of a sudden we got the ball coming out to get three fourth-quarter interceptions. It was a byproduct of not only the coverage, but it was a byproduct of the pressure too. So.
When you look back and you looked at it and saw it, why didn't you get pressure in the first three quarters? You think that
we were getting pressure. You know, that's what I really think. And it's sometimes it doesn't go in the stats, but you get three intentional groundings. You know, to me, to be honest with you, an intentional grounding is like a sack, because not only do you gain the yardage, but it's also a loss of down. So it doesn't go in the stat book as a sack, but an intentional grounding, for lack of a better thing, is I'm throwing the ball away because I'm going to get sacked. and the rules in there for that. So you got three intentional groundings from him, and you got three interceptions from him. So I felt like our defense did a good job of getting pressure on him.
Did you get a look this morning at the apparent safety, and any thoughts on why it wasn't a safety?
Yeah, I got a look on the ride home on the bus when we watched it on film. So they said it wasn't a safety, so it's not a safety.
As a foul.
I mean, did you think it was a safety?
When they say it's not a safety, it's not a safety. I go by how they play. So
did
that's
you get
what the rules.
Examination on it or anything? Or
yeah, they said it's not a safety. So
you didn't think that Michael took any unnecessary hits, but there was one in which Justin Tuck almost looked like he kneed him to the ground after he threw the ball. Did you see that one? Did you have any idea on what happened?
I don't recall that one, so I can't give you that answer.
As a follow-up to the Jeff Mail question, those snaps came at the expense of Riley, it seemed. How's Jeff's blocking on the edge, and do you see that continuing going forward?
I think Jeff does a good job on the perimeter in the block game. That's one thing about Jeff. That's why he plays on our kickoff cover team. He's got some toughness and is a physical guy. You know, so I that's one of the things that I think you like about him, and we talked about that all along, is that if you're going to have a guy that's not your starting receiver, he has to be able to contribute on teams. He just can't be a really good receiver because you're carrying a roster spot where that guy should be able to play on teams for you. So, you know, I'm excited to see where Jeff continues in his development, wherever it may be. We're cross-training Jeff because he's really technically our fourth receiver. He's playing in the slot. He's playing on the outside right. He's playing on the outside left. You know, I don't know exactly where it gets him, but if he keeps practicing, well, then we need to find ways to get him on the field even more, whether it's in the slot or outside, inside, whatever. So,
Chief, just following up on that third and nine question, can you call a play with that down the distance? Do you always think you're going to get a first down?
I hope we're going to get a first down.
With Cedric playing the nose now,
yeah.
Which he had never played before. You guys did it again. When you did it against Denver, was that you were going to see how he did it as a full game as your starting nose, and then you liked it, so you did it again? Or were you decided by that point?
What I think was said, you know, that gives you it is I think he's gotten a little bit bigger since we got here in April. He's almost between 315 maybe now. You know, he's starting to gain some weight. And I think that versatility, you know, if we got guys that can play two gap on a tackle but also play two gap on a nose, because essentially it's the same technique, you know, but I think Sed adds that element of athleticism in there too, where he's just not a run stopper first and second down player. I think, you know, if it's run or if it's really more importantly if it's play action pass that turns into, you know, it started out as a run and then all of a sudden he can turn that run read into a pass rush. You know, again, he was our most productive D lineman. You know, I thought him and Fletch played really well up there. But I think that versatility, where his ability to play in and play those, there's not a lot of guys that can do that. But I think because of his strength, he can do that. So we've worked him there. You know, I know Az has worked all those guys. They kind of rotate those guys in there and kind of seeing what their best spots are. And he did it a little bit in preseason, but it's not an experiment. I think it's just the versatility that Sed gives us. And as we start to develop, I know we're really pleased with our young defensive linemen. I think Benny really is coming along. Vinny's starting to play a little bit more and starting to grasp things. Damon Square is a guy in practice, although he's inactive right now, that has really done a lot of that for us too. So I think, you know, trying to develop those young guys is a real important thing for us right now. And I think because we're developing pressure with those guys. So.
Okay. Thank you, Jim.
Thanks, guys.
Hey. All right, there you go. That is head coach Chip Kelly again. Michael Vick officially listed as day-to-day with that hamstring injury amid reports that he is going to miss Sunday's game against Tampa Bay. But from the coach's mouth, Vic is day-to-day. We'll follow that story, of course, throughout the week. We return tomorrow, Eagles Live at 12 o'clock. Got a full day of coverage for you once again right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Make sure you tune in as the Eagles get ready for another road game, the third of three in Tampa against the Buccaneers. We thank you for joining us today, everyone. Have yourselves a great Eagles day.